Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You got to get a bucket. And issues trying to score down the stretch, and who's going to be that guy?
Great play coming out of a timeout. Kuz with a pass to Montrezl Harrell, and for Kuz, that is assist number 8.
Almost a triple-double last night for Kyle Kuzma. Their 112-106 win over the Magic. Kuzma, 19 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists. If you recall, Kuzma had an incredible game in his last game against Orlando on Sunday when he went for 27 points and a career-high 22 rebounds. Joining us right now is the Wizards general manager, Tommy Shepard. Last night was actually kind of cool because you had Thomas Bryant back in the lineup, Rui for, I think, the third straight game. I wanted to ask, I got a lot of questions to ask, and hopefully I'll be able to get to them, and I appreciate your patience this morning and coming on this early. I know you're up early anyway. You know, the NFL, Tommy, is like this league where double-digit underdogs win all the time. I mean, we saw it last weekend. The Jacksonville Jaguars shocked Indianapolis as a 14-point underdog to basically knock them out of the playoffs. And I often think that the NBA is different, that there is a big difference between some of the teams. And yet, there are these upsets. Like, I don't know how you guys lost to Houston last week, a team that had been struggling as much as they were struggling. And I know you got some issues going on with COVID and no Brad here the last two games, et cetera. But is the NBA the same, in your opinion, as the NFL, where, you know, on any given Sunday in the NFL and on any given night in the NBA, or do you think the disparity is much greater?
No, I think definitely on any given night. Now, you're talking about an 82-game season, 4 games a week.
Sure.
Injuries come, fatigue comes, you've been on a long road trip, you know, long home stands. Sometimes it's not the 10 players on the floor, there's the 3 other guys out on the floor. You know, there's all kinds of things that we could say go into what the result is after a game, and you point to things. But I think overall in the NBA, on any given night, these are great players, and somebody can go off. And you know, I look at that Houston game. That was a tough shot. Kid hit a heck of a shot, and you take your L and you move on. And you know, DeRozan did the same thing to us. You know, those are two games that they stick in your craw a little bit. Those are two games at the buzzer where, hey, at least get it to overtime, do something other than what happened. But then you got to sit back and say, you know what, guy hit a hell of a shot. And we've stolen a lot of games too. You know, I think we're number one in the league in clutch games. 16, 17 wins, you know, in 3-point games or whatever the stat is. We're very good at finishing games. So we've had our share. But I think the one thing that you see night in, night out in the NBA, you got to pack your lunch. You better be ready because that other team's got players, and those guys get paid too. And you like to go out there with the confidence each night saying, hey, we have good players. We're ready to go. And then the ball goes up and got life happens. You know, I look at the scores nightly. Everybody's – it's not that you're scoreboard watching, but you're trying to get a feel for which teams are starting to get their legs back. You know, you got to take out this last 16 games in the NBA for us. And some teams it's earlier, some teams they're going through it right now. But your season really starts when your first COVID case hit and then how you react to that. And it's gone through 11 of our players plus 2 replacement players. So we felt it very close. Firsthand, just like they did in the NFL. you want to have your best team out there, and you just don't. So what you got to do is survive and get ready to try to get when your team is 100% healthy.
Yeah, and even in non-years like we've had the last two, with obviously everything that's gone on with COVID, it's different because you've got teams, long road trips, back-to-backs, and versus a fresher team. So you get a lot of those situations as well. By the way, you mentioned scoreboard watching. I mean, there was a statement made last night in the East with what Brooklyn did in Chicago against the Bulls. That was impressive.
Yeah, and I think that was probably intentional on the Nets' part, as they're starting to get their guys, and now Kyrie's playing in road games. That's a really, really solid team, probably as good of a collection of a big three players in the league. And whenever they get a chance to play together, they've been pretty good. They just haven't really played that much together. I think it's only been about 15 games total.
Yeah,
so that's something that, we don't go out there every night, what are the Nets doing? We got to worry about what the Wizards are doing.
Yeah,
and I like where we're at. I think when we compare to where we were this time a year ago, Kevin, I don't think we got to our at the 41 game mark last year. I think we had 14 wins, and now we're at 22 wins. So I think we're going to continue to compare where we're at now, where we were at the start of the season, and then where we're going to be at the rest of the season. We don't look backwards. But the one thing that I do know is that the East is solid. We like to think we're two games out of fifth, but we're also two games out of 10th or 11th. So you got to be in it every night. You've got to be ready to go, and just know that right now we got to take care of home court. We have a homestand that's really big for us. But going into this homestand, we had played 23 road games, which is second most in the NBA. But now we got a chance. When we just started this homestand, I think we had played 17. Now we're up to 12-7 at home, so we're up to 19 games at home that we've played. It's good. The schedule comes back to you either way, and so I think the chance right now is to make as much hay as possible during this homestand in front of your fans, and we just be with our families for a while, and that's a huge motivator. And then I think we're starting to get players back, and now it's going to be really we're trying to get everybody together, firing all at the same time. And that's going to be it's a big thing for Wes to figure out how he wants his lineups to look every night. But it is really nice to have depth. I think depth carried us a lot during this last 16 games.
Yeah. I mean, 15-27 through 42 last year, 22-20 through 42 this year, and a crazy couple of weeks for sure. More than a couple of weeks at this point, a couple of months since the 10-3 start. So that's kind of where I wanted to start it. I got sidetracked there a little bit, but you just got to the halfway point and started the second half of the season last night. For somebody that didn't spend the last 42 games with you, and you had to describe and assess the team's performance, how would you do it?
I'm really proud of these guys. I think they've taken a lot of punches. We came out early. I think we started out pretty hot. And then you get to a point, Kevin, before COVID, I think we were 15-11 before our first COVID case. And then, you kind of get punched. And I think we're 7-9 since then. And I'm happy with that. Actually, it could have been a hell of a lot worse when you consider every night missing at least two starters and kind of the mental toll it takes on everybody. But we're not alone. We're not special. The whole league's gone through this. So one thing I would say, if I had to describe this team to this point, it's resilient. And I think there's a joy of basketball playing together that they really enjoy that. And, it breeds a lot of competitive juices, having depth. And guys are going to compete for minutes now. And I think every possession counts. And, you're going to see the best version of the Wizards is still ahead of us. We're not looking backwards and saying, oh, that moment's gone. Not at all. I think we can recapture a lot of that synergy we had early. I think we're doing that now. We're starting to score the ball much better than we had been. And now it's just you got to get really dialed in on the defensive end again. We had a lot of slippage. As you go through a season, that's normal. And what we've got to do is continue to push guys to get better. And every possession matters. Yeah, I think we can really stress to players now more than ever that most NBA games are three possession games at the end of the night. and to be able to get stops in the middle of the game. Every play matters at the end. You know, you're going to look back and you say, man, that shot before the end of the half or that last rebound we didn't get before the end of the third quarter, those things add up. And Wes has done a great job of bringing that forward to the players, bringing it to their attention. And we've seen a lot of players step up. I think Kyle Kuzma right now is playing as good as anybody in the East. And, you know, I can't say enough about his performance when we needed it most because he had a lot of scoring out, a lot of rebounding out, and he stepped up.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, we're talking to Tommy Shepard, of course, the Wizards general manager. Of the new players, of the haul that you got back for Russell Westbrook, was Kyle the biggest surprise for you?
No, I wouldn't say he was a surprise. He was somebody, you know, similar to Gafford, where we just saw somebody that maybe was in a situation where he wasn't getting the opportunity to show what he could do. You know, if you look back, you know, when Kyle was when he made the all-rookie team in the Lakers, they weren't very good. And then the following year, LeBron got there. But Kyle showed a lot his first year. And we followed him in college. You know, when he was at Utah, everybody was following Poeltl. And every time I went to watch Utah, I said, that Kuzma kid's going to be a hell of a player. And that's nothing against Jakob Poeltl, but just the more I watched Utah, I really liked Kyle. And so that kind of sticks in your brain. And then when he was available, we thought, hey, that's somebody that's going to probably thrive here. Whereas in L.A., you know, there was just so many pieces. His opportunities were going to be much less. Here, I think he has a lot more opportunity. He's grabbing it off the glass and going. He's able to rebound at a high clip, better than he's ever done in his career. And he's able to score the ball. And, you know, quite frankly, he's a clutch player.
That's what I was going to
really,
say.
Really been good for us.
That part of it, just that he has been the guy more often than not that has delivered, you know, the Steve Buckhantz dagger shot for you guys. Not only has he delivered, he wants it. You know, even if he's off the ball waiting for, you know, Brad to make a play or somebody else to make a play, there is no hesitancy. This dude's looking and hunting that big shot late in the game. I mean, that's got to be something that you, you know, that may have been the icing on the cake. I know you like the player, but that part of it, did you see that coming?
You know, we didn't. What happens, though, is you look back and you say, well, he has played in huge games. You know, when you play in the NBA Finals, every touch that you have is a critical touch. So I don't think any moment's too big for him. But you look at the plays that he's been able to make, you know, someone's setting him up for it. I think that's what I'm really proud of with this team is, you know, you look at Bradley Beal, he's always going to make the right play. He has opportunities every night. He could take every shot down the stretch, but he moves the ball. And most times when you see that, someone's either getting the assist or the hockey assist to Kyle. So they're making the right play. Kyle's not forcing anything, and nobody's trying to take over the game by themselves. And that's something I think this team, as they continue, you know, we're at the 42-game mark. You said, you know, that's a heck of a snapshot, but it's sure not the full picture. We have a lot more we can do, and it's just that's what's exciting to me as this team starts to get more and more repetitions together. We're healthy. We're getting pieces back. I think it's exciting, you know, where we're headed to. We've been in a lot of close games so far. We've proven on the road that we're a very competitive team, and those are going to bode well for our future.
Thomas Bryant was back last night for the first time. It was great to see that. Rui's been back for a couple of games. Boy, I mentioned this early in the show. I don't know if this is true or not. I don't remember a guy that is your primary ball handler as he's been for the last three games having zero turnovers in three straight games, and that's what Spencer Dinwiddie has done. He's had three solid games in a row, but the no turnovers when you are, you know, one of the primary guys touching the ball for 30-plus minutes, that is rare, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's been a point of emphasis where – you know, we kicked some games. You mentioned the Houston game in particular, where our points off turnovers were just killing us.
Yeah.
I think that's something that Spencer took a great deal of pride in, that, hey, I've got to fix that as the primary ball handler. And I think every player has stepped up in that. And sometimes there's chances you can take in the first quarter that you certainly can't take in the fourth. And that's something where that's been the coaching staff bringing it to everyone's attention and showing in film that it's just not a good idea, you know, at this point of the game. Don't try to throw bounce passes in traffic and certainly don't throw back if you don't know exactly where you're going. If you get up in the air and you don't have a decision, then throw it in the stands. At least we can get back and set the defense. You know, the live ball turnovers is a killer. And we try to limit those. And Spencer's a good point guard. He really is. He's just so unique and different than guys that we've probably been used to. Our fans have seen John Wall and Russell Westbrook come through here at arenas before those two. And, you know, he's totally different than those guys, but he's very effective.
All right, we're talking to Tommy Shepard. One of the reasons I wanted you on is we are, you know, roughly a month away, maybe a little bit less than a month away from the trade deadline. And obviously a big subject is going to be Bradley Beal. So let me start with this. Is the offer that you guys made on October 1st, you know, the $181 million-plus offer, is that still an offer that's on the table for Brad?
Well, certainly. You know, and again, that offer was made the first day, the first moment we could, out of respect. It's an extension that would involve, you know, for him, we have the entire year to do it. So it's there. And I think both of us, we are aware, we put it down and you move on. And I expect to hear from them whenever we hear from them on that. It's business. But
okay,
for what we did, that was completely out of respect. Where I look at it, Kevin, is we're focused on the rest of this season and how this team is moving forward. And Bradley's been a foundation piece for us. And there's nothing to dwell on. There's nothing to get excited about one way or the other than, are we getting better? Yes. Has it been good for Bradley? Yes. Are we winning more? Yes. So we're checking the boxes that we discussed.
You're checking the boxes that you discussed with him, meaning this is what we're going to put in place. Because I think everybody recognizes the potential quandary you're in. And you're speaking to it in a very calm way. But at the same time, I think it's intuitive to wonder, don't you have to have some sort of at least verbal commitment from him prior to the trade deadline that he's going to sign that deal when the season's over? Don't you have to have that? Because your only opportunity to extract great value for him if he's not going to sign that deal is prior to the trade deadline.
You know, again, I go back to what we kind of said all along, is it's actions over words. You know, somebody can come in and tell you right now, I'm going to be here the rest of my career. It all sounds good. And then something changes. So I don't need that assurance. He doesn't need the assurance. We've been very transparent with each other. What is it he's looking for? We want the same things. We both want this franchise to elevate, to be a perennial contender. And we're not going to skip steps. You know, I'm not going to tell him, hey, we're going to just go out and infuse this team and try to win today, so we can have a great season and then wreck the next 4 years. You know, we can give up 3 first-round picks and go get somebody right now, and it would change our roster for this season. That'd feel great for a little while, but that's kind of like that saccharin hit. It's not going to be, you know, the sugar rush isn't worth it. You want to be able to build something really stable, and he's the cornerstone of that. We've been very clear. You know, if that's something that changes, that's going to be up to him. But for us, we've been very – you know, brutally transparent this entire time of what our goals are and where we're headed. And I think we've checked those. I hate to use that phrase, check the box, because it's very cliche, but we've said these things and we've done these things. And I want to be held accountable for these things, because it's very important, you know, as you move forward, that everything that we're doing, we hold it up to the light. Was it the right decision or not? And not every trade works, not every draft pick works, not every signing works. But as you go through this, you look back, what did we do this summer? So far, those have paid off. And what did we draft this summer? That's paid off. It's only 42-game snapshot, but you continue to build with that. I love that we have on the top level, we acquired some veteran players. I love that in the middle, we had some guys that returned to our team that continue to do well. And I love from the bottom, we drafted where players are getting in positions to get minutes. You know, with the last 3 draft picks, with Rui, with Denny, with Corey, they're all out there getting playing time. And I think that bodes well for our future, bodes well for now that Kuzma, Harrell, KCP are playing so well, and Spencer, you know, and obviously the returning players have done what they've done. Now we got to get Thomas Bryant back in the mix, Rui back in the mix. Those are good problems. But I like the talent level of this team. And, Kevin, I think, you know, we can focus on trade deadline, we can focus on free agency, or we can focus on Portland Saturday. That's really what my focus is.
Look, I think, you know, these are always things that we as fans, or in my case as a fan and a media member, we don't understand the relationship. We don't understand what's in your gut. We don't understand, you know, the tone of these conversations, you know, builds a level of comfort or trust that you have. But it seems to me that what you've said is, you know, you don't need that verbal commitment from him that he's going to sign this deal before the trade deadline. As long as you do what you told him you would do, these boxes to be checked, you think that he'll see that and want to stay.
I think he's showing us, right? I do think, again, verbal assurances aside, it's all about actions over words. And, you know, I think Bradley has shown, he said it himself, how much he wants to be here, retire, just be on one team. Those things are very important to him, but so is winning. And we've said the same thing. So I think when you line it up action-wise, it's easy to see that he's been a man of his word. His actions show that he's trying to get this franchise to where that next level. We've done the same thing. So, you know, every day we just got to go in and look and see, you know, is this being carried out the way that we had planned? And so far I can't say, I can't say enough. I think it's gone well. When you bring in a brand new coaching staff, 7 new players, there's a lot of new pieces that got to get fit in. You know, to be where we're at right now is very gratifying. That was a lot of change. And then certainly got punched in the mouth for 16 games and things that you can't plan for whatsoever. To be able to come out of that and be where we're at, I'm happy. We're not satisfied. We've got to keep moving forward. But I think Bradley's done what he's supposed to do. You know, 3-point shot's going to come, but he has taken a lot more responsibility from playmaking. And that's something that I think has made our team better. And that's the whole goal. If he's going to be the top player on the team, to make your team better, make other players better. We've seen that.
By the way, just as an aside, because you just mentioned it, that would be the one thing in watching your team. I just think you've got too many guys with great strokes to be wherever you are in 3-point shooting percentage, which the last time I checked was like 27th or 28th or somewhere around there. What I mean, look, this is one of those where you don't tell them to stop shooting when they're good shooters, right? You just expect eventually they'll start to fall.
Yeah, certainly. And I think one area of focus that we were really, maybe we're in a bit of transition right now with that, Kevin, is we weren't getting enough shots up. You know, the threes, they've got to get more and more comfortable, you know, releasing that shot, not necessarily early in the shot clock, but what we were having early was a lot of guys turning down, open look, to move the ball, and then all of a sudden that open look ended up being the best touch in the possession, should have taken it. You know, now we're trying to get them up, and I think you're seeing some of that. And, you know, just like Bertans is so important to our offense when he's out on the floor. He can stretch the floor very quickly, and you saw that in the Orlando game on the road where, you know, he came in, hit 3 threes, but that put Orlando absolutely back on their heels, and that allowed us to make some pretty decisive moves down the stretch and pull away. Those shots are very, very dramatic in a game. When you can hit the three, it keeps you going and it gets everybody juiced up. And now, you know, to address it 100%, you got to keep shooting, but you've got to get into a confidence mode where you say, hey, we're going to be able to get back, set our defense and get stops. Long rebounds happen. You just don't want to have the runouts. And I think that was something we were reluctant a little bit to let it fly. And so now, you know, I think there's more shooting out on the floor, to your point, but you want the makers, and that's the most important thing. I think that's going to continue to come. We're getting more and more threes, more and more comfortable every night, and that's something to look forward to.
Well, let me just say, I mean, fun first half of the season, obviously a brilliant start. The place has been jumping, which has been fun to see. This next stretch over the next month before the trade deadline, I mean, you've got Brooklyn twice, you've got Miami, you've got Phoenix, you've got Milwaukee, you've got John Morant, Memphis. This is going to be a big stretch with a bunch of home games coming up. And man, I'll tell you, your calm and your belief and your trust and your confidence in the Beal situation, I think, you know, I understand it, and I'm But it's going to be a big discussion point for a lot of us as we enter into that territory. But I wish you the best of luck over the next month in getting that thing done. And I always appreciate the time. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much. You know, Kevin, I appreciate the fans and how much they care about this, and they should. It's exciting. But, you know, we've shown through the last 2 years we're going to do what's best for the Wizards. And you get the trade deadline, and that's exciting, and everybody's talking, and nobody ever really gives us much thought. You know, I don't know if you play cards, Kevin. I play cards quite a yep. bit. I don't show my cards. What we do here is usually something that you know, I think quietly you come in, you do a move, and you move out, and you hope for the best that it's going to help us. But I look at last year, just a small acquisition of getting Daniel Gafford on the aggregate. You know, when people looked at aggregate and they said, oh, they acquired this guy, it wasn't that big of a deal, but he made a huge impact. Those are the kinds of things we're going to look at doing.
No, the vision on him.
Look forward to it.
Yeah. Listen, ace two against a six, you got to double down. So let's see how the next month goes.
I've heard that.
I will talk to you hopefully before then. Happy New Year to you, and thanks again, Tommy.
Happy New Year. Thank you for having me on. Take care.
Tommy Shepard, the Wizards GM, everybody. Up next, Doug Kammer with the latest on the snowstorm or snow and mix storm. That's next. Mike Shanahan at 8:30. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.